Okay, so we're going to try to wrap up the speech tonight. And I think that even if everything is not clear to us, so we don't remember everything from previous weeks, hopefully we remember something, and we'll kind of come together. We're on page 143, so the packet may or may not be turned to that. We're on page 143. And we are the second to the bottom paragraph. Page 143. Yeshnam Shnei Minei Siyagin. So we already met that concept of the Siyag of Adam Rishon. The Siyag is a fence, the protective fence that you put around that which is important to you. And we have the concept of Asiyag Siyag LaTorah. So the fence is to make sure that we don't encounter the actual thing that the Torah says is Asur. But we already discussed that erecting your own siyag, as important as it may be, there's a certain danger to it, and we're going to get back to that idea here. Yeshnam shnei mine siyagim. There are two types of siyags. Yesh b'chinas nishbal yitzro hamur b'ikar keneged yitzar atato. There's the idea of a siyag where a person makes a shvua, not that it's necessarily recommended, but he swears not to do that which he's tempted to do. In other words, he's trying to erect a barrier against temptation. Type of temptation that's primarily connected yetzer taiva, primarily to protect one from the yetzer of taiva of desire. Vikur he lachson b'chol emtzayim b'fnei havsharas avera. And the idea is primarily to seal off any avenues that will lead to the potential for sin. You know, it's I know that if I open the refrigerator, I will eat what's in there. So I won't even open the refrigerator, right? Even the problem is not the door. The problem is eating, but it's a siyag, right? I can keep the door closed. Aval, but yesh no siyag acher hamechuvah neged midas hagayva. But there's another kind of siyag that is dealing with the person's arrogance, which is a more of a delicate area. Bubo yesakana, when it comes to arrogance, if a person is struggling with gaiva or has any temptation or any draw to gaiva, yesakana shedafka yado yipo be'emes kavein, there's a potential that dafka al yado, that means specifically as a result of the, or precisely as a result of the siyag that one is doing, setting up, the fence that one is setting up to prevent arrogance, it will have the opposite effect. Yipo be'ein miskavein, he will unintentionally fall, the pach shemimenu who wrote to Lishamer, he'll fall into the trash that he's trying to avoid. How so? Kielo is a siyag asa ba'atma. Because who made the siyag? I made the siyag. This is, look at this beautiful fence that I put up. He may be so infatuated, if you will, with his own siyag, to the point where she'orer bo gam esmidas hagava, where it can inspire arrogance. Yitachin she'odam lamrosh yisnaig b'hatzalachas. Despite the fact, it's possible that despite the fact that a person is conducting himself b'hatzalachas, hatzalachas means the sense of humility and modesty, but regesh shebekavan amiti, with correct feelings and with good thoughts and good intentions, kidei lishamim in hagava, in order to protect himself from arrogance, it's possible, I really think the word should be avoda, but that is those steps that he's taking to prevent arrogance, it's possible that he will not succeed to keep away from arrogance, dafka, as a result of what he's trying to stay away from it, because he is now the tzaddik nister, he's the hidden tzaddik. And there's arrogance in that. And that knowledge that I won the Hidden Tzaddik of the Year award. Okay? I would have won it if everybody would know it, but they don't know it. But really, I'm deserving of that honor of the Hidden Tzaddik. And then we mentioned this earlier, that the idea of chumras, you know, which can be a very good thing in the right circumstances, could also be a very dangerous thing where a person becomes so infatuated with the concept of chumra and its own chumras, and how holy is the result of that, and how much holier he is than everybody else. Now, everybody else will be doing the same thing that he's doing because he's leading them. And it just goes on and on and on, where a person can get a very inflated sense of self-importance as a result of taking those steps. Okay, just to be clear, it's not an anti-chumra polemic that I just launched. It's just we just need to know that's a delicate issue. And I guess it would be an argument for saying, and maybe I said this already, that if a person is thinking of taking on something that halacha may not require, it's really important to get hadracha from someone who knows them and to get some really healthy guidance and input from somebody outside of themselves. So the Torah has revealed to us, Regila and the Chazal, and the Chazal, following the footsteps of the Torah, have revealed to us, that it was something like this, the process, or the Mahalach HaDvarim means the road that Adam Rishon took. Gamadam Rishon, maybe this is what happened, this is what unfolded, when it came to Adam Rishon, Lam Rose called Goda Madrigasa despite the high level that he was on. He heard about Me'in Hagashas Anochi because he had a sense of ego. But Dakidakas, did we talk about the term Dakidakas here? Dakidakas, we did. Okay, it means in the most nuanced way that we may not have noticed it. But Dakidakas Basher who Nivra Nivda Meshanes Baruch as a result of the fact that he was a creation. It was a creation, as we noted earlier, that every creation has a degree of darkness in its own existence that allows it to perceive its own existence. So that he's nivdal Hashem is birth to perceive himself as a nivra, as a creation separate from Hashem. Now he refers us here to a mamar, to another essay that he wrote, which appears in volume 1, which we did not do, Tzelushal Guf, but it really delves into this idea that we've been talking about over here. Tzelushal Guf means the shadow of the body. That means that I exist, I have a guf, I have a body, and that, what's a shadow? A shadow is something or something that casts a shadow, it's essentially blocking light from coming through, right? It's blocking light from coming through. So the extent that light represents truth, to the extent that light represents clarity in terms of the true reality of Hashem, if a person exists, that means he has a body that casts a shadow on his perceptions so that his perception is not clear, right? It's not clear. And in that essay, he says that the process of the avoda that has to be addressed when you're dealing with tzil and shalmidos, it parallels the midas himself. This is not so clear, but let's see how he explains it. But kashar himti ba'atzmos hasiyag, when Adam Rishon actualized or created this siyag, this fed, kidele shomer b'fnei hagalat anochi yisdom, in order to protect himself from allowing his ego to go overboard and make decisions he shouldn't make, mata anochi yis makam ligvos es shalom. The anochius itself, the ego itself, found an opportunity. Dafka, as he's trying to control it, the ego found an opportunity to demand, this is a poetic phrase, ligvos es shalom, to demand its, to collect its debt, what it wants to collect. That's like a metaphorical phrase. He became very infatuated with his own tiyag. You know, you can kind of compare this to where someone wants to not think about something and they can't stop thinking about it, they can't help obsessing about it. So sometimes dafka, by taking action, by wrestling with a particular issue, that is the issue that we find ourselves struggling with the most. So he says here, the siyag was because I don't want to be a baal gaiva, I don't have arrogance, but what happened was that he kept on thinking about, should I have arrogance, shouldn't I have arrogance, I don't want to have arrogance, I, and it becomes this self-focus that, yeah, I was going to say that explicitly too, right. And that resulted in the mistake that Avraham Baltosif, he was violation of Baltosif, adding to the Torah, so to speak. The Hishva Osan the mitzvah atma, and he equated his own contribution to the mitzvah itself. And this is what Chazal referred to, that he made the fence more than the primary thing that he's trying to protect. The defense became the big deal. Betos kalazo, and that small mistake, hivsa sapirta, created the crack. Shabada chadar hayetzahar lasocho, would be told that the yetzer used to worm its way in, and to lure him into his trap.
Is it better not to make a friend only if Hashem makes the fence worse?
Well, you're asking, is it better not to make Hashem only if Hashem makes the fence worse? No, we can't say that either, because asu siyag la Torah. All the siyagim were made. Siyag, by definition, is what Chazal made for us. Okay, given that to us. But we're also encouraged to make our own siyagim when we know we need it. That crowd of people, if I walk over to them right now, knowing the dynamic amongst those people, I will wind up speaking Lashon Hara. So I don't go over to them. That's a siyag, right? That's a siyag that if I go there, it's going to lead to not good things, right? So I see siyag la Torah, or somebody puts a piece of tape on their bathroom light because they have this habit of always turning it on when they go to the bathroom for Shabbat. So it's a siyag, right? That's a siyag la Torah. So we can't say that we shouldn't do it. The only thing is we have to know that it's a double-edged sword, and it's something we have to be sensitive to and aware of. But there's always a concern. And certainly if a person makes this his mahal hachayim, this is his approach to life, I'm going to come up with this, and I'll come up with that, I'll come up with that, I'll come up with this. And he finds himself really being uniquely layered with all kinds of protections in ways that are different than everybody else. You know, we find an interesting thing in halacha, which I think pertains to this. We find that sometimes a particular practice that's halachically desirable, let's call it a chumrah, if you will, okay, but it doesn't have to be a chumrah. Some particular practice that's not halachically required, but it's halachically desirable. To do it when nobody else around you is doing it is very questionable. Because Chazal worried about mirzi kiyura, you appear to be arrogant. You're giving up the appearance of arrogance. Chazal don't right away say it is arrogant, but you certainly started to give the appearance of arrogance because you are being firmer than everybody else.
Even if you're doing it when no one else is seeing, just because you.
No, okay, so maybe it's more relevant than others see, and that's something that has to be addressed. You know, when is it correct and when is not correct to do something? And by the way, sometimes that is the approach. Sometimes they have no choice. If you believe that this particular chumra is not just an extra halacha chumra, but it's really you believe the halacha is required. This is the halacha the way you understand it. Then you have no choice. You know, my wife's grandfather didn't eat meat here in America. He didn't eat meat because he didn't trust anybody's shechita. You know, so he didn't eat meat. And after many, many years, the way I heard the story, his son got married, got engaged to the daughter of a shechita. Okay, and this shechita was Yerei Shemayim, and my wife's uncle, my wife's aunt's father, and he said, "Your shechita, I trust." And he tried eating meat, but after so many years, he couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't tolerate. He couldn't. He lost the taste of it completely. So, because he was concerned about kashrus. So he tell him, "Don't be from anybody else." He's concerned about kashrus. So he's not eating it. But so you have to know when yes to apply this and when not to apply this. And that itself could be a shaila that a person could ask a rabbi, or ask a rebbe, or ask a mentor. Is this chumra appropriate for me under these circumstances, or do I have to be worried about hubris, arrogance? So that's all part of it. Okay, so daka daka, so you have to get back to the word daka daka. Yeah.
There's no hope for us.
but again, we're only judged on our level. Adam Rish is being judged on his level, and whatever he did, whatever guy we had on his level, probably on our level would be considered humility. Right? It would be anivus. On his level was Gaiva, and we're held accountable to Gaiva on our level, right? Okay, if I ain't Shamba Avatur of Nasan. So he first says to Avatur of Nasan, which is, I think we had this Avatur of Nasan before as a source, that abrises, that Ba'osisha at that time, Hayanachasha Rasha Notel Eitza Belibo, the Nachasha Rasha. I haven't seen that term in other places. The Nachash is a snake, and the and he gets a title like Nachash HaRasha. No till Eitzah Belibu. He got this idea. Amar, he said, Eilech v'achshel eschav. I'll go ahead and cause Chava to stumble. Halach v'hir b'sichres. I'll get into a conversation with her. And it says, "Amanegia atem omrim tziva aleinu haKadosh Baruch Hu." If you say that we're not even supposed to touch it, hareini nogea, but look, I'm touching it. Beini meisin, I'm not dying. Af at, so too im tigibo, if you touch it, iat meisin, you will not die. That's the quote right from the Avodah of Nasa. So that's what says, "Kigam madregas yitzharmi bechutz," that even on that level that they were on then, where the yitzhar was external. Adain Yoshev HaYetzer, the Yetzer is sitting there, Umitzape, and he's looking, he's anticipating. Al Pesach Halei, he's sitting there by the opening to a person's heart. Ulai Tivkap Tozibaka Pirzalafanav, maybe a crack will open in front of him. Yuchel Hachnes Hirukal, and he can perhaps insert a Hirukal, a fleeting thought. She's live lahava that can be fanned into a flame. I did tailish l'guf because of the darkness that exists in the human condition of existence, right? As we discussed before, hachavi b'fnim, which is there embedded inside the person. Ve'tzachava, okay, you'll forgive me. The next couple lines are not politically correct, but Rav Dessler has the sources for this. That ve'tzachava mata pesach rachav yosef. Chava. But Chavi had a little bit more of an opening than with Adam. Ki, why? Ki misha Adam, Metzius Nefredes Mekadosh Baruch Hu. Adam, to start with, is a Metzius Nefredes. He is a separate entity from Hashem. And that separateness from Hashem, from the ultimate source, is already, as we noted, a shadow. It casts darkness. It causes a lack of clarity. But Chava, Nifredes Mei Adam. But Chava, she was separated from Adam. So Adam was separated from Hashem, and Chava was separated from Adam. In the way she was created. There's a little bit more of an opportunity for the Yetzirah, a bit more darkness. But came there from men of Hizchal Kilka, that's why it all started with Chava. The came in Shehufnissa Data, then Goa Be'inyan, and once Chava was turned her attention to the tree in the wrong way, she was now ready to make contact with it. Touching means to make contact with the forbidden. She became completely oblivious to the death, the spiritual death that is part of such behavior. And she became very, very attractive. This paved the way for the Satan to insert into her heart an additional thought. He, and that is, and when you say she, because when it's into her, a thought into her, it eventually becomes Adam as well. So it's Adam and Chava together at a certain point. And that is, she yesh lehem litzta'er, that they, meaning Adam and Chava, should be bothered. Al shekadosh baruch hu ratzel lemno mehem as a derech hamakas ehester, that Hashem seems to be withholding from them, blocking off for them the path of creating more darkness, kedela galosto, in order to reveal to overcome and reveal the light, as we discussed earlier. Kiva hayuchom hidamos elav, because in her mind, or as Anacha tried to convince her, by doing that, as we discussed earlier, she or they would now be too similar to Hashem himself, kaviyachos, so to speak. Be it Siras Olamos Kimberl El by creating worlds, as we discussed earlier. Okay, so just to remind ourselves of what we discussed earlier, what does it mean to create worlds? Because the world is Helam. Olam is Helam, is hidden. Hashem created a world through darkness, really. In the Kabbalah sources, they talk about the world being created, at least in some sources, and it is not my area of expertise, but that Hashem created the world through tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means to withhold himself. To withhold, you know, Hashem is light, to hold back the light, and the absence of that light, that's where you have the world. So the world really is, by definition, where the light is hidden. So Hashem creates a space where light is hidden, and that's what creates opportunity for the free will and the choices that we make. And therefore, if Adam and Chava were to indulge in this fruit, and bring more darkness into the world, that's creating more world, so to speak. And therefore really doing exactly what Hashem did. Hashem created a world where there's a certain amount of darkness so that we can have free will. And they say, well, let's make more world, more hell, more hiddenness, so that it's possible for us to make even more choices to bring our own light into the world, or Hashem's light through our actions. And through that, there stole into her heart a thought and a feeling of akzava, of kind of like resentment. Kilu einot tzara, as if Hashem is stingy, kaviyochol, so to speak, stingy. That Hashem is stingy in how much He's going to allow them to develop spiritually. Well, those kivnezav amarim, that's what Chazal were referring to. Rashi says that when the nachash tries to convince Chava and Adam to ultimately Adam to eat from the tree, he says because Hashem knows in that day you'll be like him. So Rashi says, "Kol uman sona b'nei umnasim." Every craftsman hates the competition, right? So Hashem, so to speak, is afraid of the competition. You will be too close to him, you would have done the same thing he did. Kachas patchim achatzni. Says the Rebbe, that's the way sin unfolds. Afilu madreis Gan Eden, even on the level of Gan Eden. Well, of sham habagam hu bedakidakus. But there, the begam, the fault, is bedakidakus in the most minute level. Achin chazal, his biru oso lanu belasha shematim al madreis Gan Eden. But chazal expressed it in a language that fits our level. That means to say that we find oftentimes that this is an idea that Rav Dessler writes about elsewhere. I believe before him, Rav Yochanan Levavitz expresses this, that whenever you're talking about the sins of great people, whether you're talking about the sin of Adam or any of the Avos to whatever degree, according to different Rishonim, they may have sinned, or Moshe Rabbeinu, or David HaMelech, you have... you have sometimes these great people being accused of very, very grave averos that we can never imagine ourselves being tempted to do such things. Let's talk about Adam the way Chazal speak about Adam. Chazal speak about Adam Rishon, I think maybe this quote was mentioned earlier in the piece. Adam Rishon is a kofir bi'ikar. Now, it doesn't get any worse than kofir bi'ikar. Kofir bi'ikar means to deny the most fundamental principles of belief. Like, typically, someone doesn't believe in Hashem as a kofir b'ikar. Right? Adam is a kofir b'ikar. So Rav Dessler, in his last few words, says, the Chazal expressed it, as the Torah does as well, in language that fits our reality. In other words, they're being held to a very high standard. Chazal tell us, Tzadikim, Hashem judges them, k'chut ha'sara. Echad Asara means that how fine is the measuring scale that Hashem uses to judge a tzaddikim, the one that measures a strand of hair, Echad Asara, right? Hashem is medagdik aleim k'chut Asara. He is exacting with them k'chut Asara. So is that fair? That's not fair. Why should they be held to a different standard than us? The answer is because they're on a different level than us. And therefore, when they cave into even that flaw, that minor fault that would be nothing for us, it will be described as a sin that is so gross that on our level that's the language that's used. Yes.
So there was like one thing that they shouldn't do.
Right.
So it seems pretty clear. Like it wasn't the 613 and all of the, fences around it and all this. So, that's all have to keep in your head, right? So, like, the one thing that's bad. So I don't know, why is that the level of a sin of a hair's breadth?
Okay, the reason that's the level of sin of a hair's breadth, let's see, in reference to what I was referring to, is to call Adam a kofir b'ikar. We're told that really anyone guilty of arrogance, Chazal says, "Kilu avad avodah zara." I believe Chazal. Like he's a worship idol. So what does that mean? Because you push Hashem out of your life because you made yourself the center of your own universe instead of Hashem. So it's like you are worshiping somebody else. You're worshiping yourself. Now, that's the kind of thing that exists in degrees. Arrogance is, how thinly can you slice the concept of arrogance? Very, very much, very thinly. So if Adam was guilty of even the slightest bit of arrogance, for him it's Avodah Zarah. He's a Kohen Beikar. He's at his level, he shouldn't even fall into that tiny sliver of arrogance. So what Chazal talking about, it, they'll say, is a Kohen Beikar, because for him to cave into a tiny sliver of arrogance is for us to forget about Hashem completely. You know, when you want to measure the relative scale, because it's not the same scale. It's a relative scale, and it's perfectly fair because there's a different expectation for Adam than there is for us. So, you know, with that, but you're right. Once he ate from the tree, he ate from the tree. But so either he ate from the tree, he didn't eat from the tree. He just, did he do it or didn't he do it? But the process that led to it, and the thought process that led to it, and the fact that the thought process really was in his own mind on a conscious level, was he was trying to do something for Hashem's sake. Right, as he explained earlier, that very lishma, that he wanted to do this because he loved Hashem so much. But it was tainted. It was tainted, and that the fact that it was tainted ruined everything and led him in the wrong direction. Okay.
Well, I have a mitzvah, so I'll try to rationalize and see and do better than what Hashem's telling. You just listen to whatever Hashem
says. You're saying that Avram avoided all this by just doing what Hashem says. You know, I think it's a reasonable thing to say. You know, we all had this experience, and there's some validity to it, where we did something wrong in elementary school or high school, and you get the trouble for it, and you said, but I thought, and you told, you shouldn't have thought. Don't think. Your job is not to think. Your job is to do what you're supposed to do, right? And it could be told that to our children as well, right? Who has to, it's not your job to think. Your job is to listen. And your job is to listen. Now, we can even bring in Nasa and Ishma over here. Right? Nasa and Ishma, where the Beis Halevi explains, and those are the most noble phrase, probably the most noble phrase that Chazal ever used, was Nasa and Ishma. You'll do and you'll hear, right? We'll do and you'll hear. So the Beis Halevi says, what do you'll do and you'll hear? That's not true. You're going to hear and then you're going to do, right? Because it's impossible to do before you hear what you're supposed to do. So the Beis Halevi, the Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, first one, he says that Nasa, we will do, means that includes we'll hear what we're supposed to do. Because obviously the only way to do it is for you to tell us what to do. Nishma, we will hear, refers to what he calls Shmiat Halev. A hearing of the heart, meaning to try to understand, to think, to delve into the mitzvah. What is the meaning of the mitzvah to the degree that I can, and to understand the spiritual power behind the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to do that, to try to delve into it. But the order is critically important. The nasa has to be unconditional. And then I will try to understand it. Nishma v'nasa means I will listen to the mitzvah, I'll try to understand it, see how it tastes, see how it feels, insert myself into it, insert my ego into it, insert my thought process into it, and so on. And then I'll see, and then Nishma. But a lot can happen between that Nasa and the Nishma that could send a person on the wrong path. So the order is very important. So the Nishma, you know, like I said, I don't want to say thinking is a bad thing. Thinking is a good thing. And Torah wants us to think, and that's what it means to learn Torah. And it's a mitzvah to try to understand Torah to the best of our ability. But it has to be after the unconditional nasa. Okay. So the last two lines of this paragraph. No, last two lines. I already did that. Okay. So let's start the next and final section. Hechrach u'bechira. It's nice again to bring this back down a little bit to our reality. Mikala amor. Mikala amor, for everything that was said earlier, Mizbar lanu. We have now clarified. Shekodim shegiya lechet, before Adam reached the level of sin, before he sinned, haya Adam rishon b'chinas mukhach b'masa. He was someone who was really mukhach. Mukhach means forced. I mean, he had to act properly. Like the Ramban says. You know, in other words, and as we saw earlier as well, the idea of doing anything wrong was like jumping into a fire. Lo chas shalom machmas izim minyachitonis. And it wasn't because there's something physically barring and preventing him from doing the wrong thing, or because he had some inner lacking, but rather, on the contrary, because of the greatness of the light that filled him, and the complete clarity that there's nothing else in the world except other than to do the will of Hashem, l'shem Shemayim. That's all there was. That was the only thing that was real to him. When the koma kom, nevertheless, ide sibos dakos, as a result of subtle sibos, subtle causes, dakos ma'od, very subtle, nishtana ha-matzav v'his batel, everything changed. V'notzer matzav chadash, and a new reality was created. Shebo alol ha-yilikasho b'tuyos, where it was not possible for him to stumble into mistakes, zeo matzav v'chira, and that's free will. In other words, the Nachash wormed his way in and now created free will that wasn't really there as part of Adam Rishon's natural state. His natural state was one where he had clarity. But, again, clarity only up to a point. He had almost complete clarity. But, as we already explained, the Tzelo Shagub, the shadow of his own existence, created a little bit of unclarity that allowed the Nachash to kind of, to literally worm his way into Adam Rishon's heart. Nizbone Navinira. So let's contemplate this and see. That the idea of pre-sin and post-sin applies to us as well. That's main nukayam. It applies to us today. And we talked about this earlier, but that's what now articulated. We can learn a lot from all this regarding our own avodah. As opposed to conventional thought, that free will is tiferes Adam, is man's splendor and his glory. Ateres Adam, the crown of man. Megala lanu haTorah haKdosha beParashas Chet Adam haRishon. The Torah reveals to us through this study of Adam Rishon, the Chet of Adam Rishon, shematzav habechir perusho, the state of free will that we have means meniyas haor, the withholding of light. Right? What he's saying is that as opposed to what people generally think, that free will is what makes man so noble, free will really is a result of darkness. It means man has darkness. Otherwise, he wouldn't have free will. Now, the way man deals with free will is his nobility, but that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the state of free will is there's nothing noble in having free will. Free will is a result of the fact that we are at such a low level of clarity that we think that there are choices. Because if you have real clarity, you realize there is no choice, right?
The fact that there's a choice is because there's darkness. If it was so clear, then there would be no choice.
If it was so clear, then there would be no choice. Ubo adam b'china suma mamash. And therefore, in the world of b'chira, a person is like someone who's blind. Shekol adrachim shavas lefanav. What does blind mean? Everything looks the same. Everything looks the same. All paths look the same. And relative to the exalted level of before the sin, the entrance into this new level of Bechira, the Yerida Gedol B'Yoser, is a tremendous Yerida, a tremendous descent. It's going down. It's lowering the state of Adam. Right? And we have already explained, now he's going back to what we learned about Bechir from Redesra and Kodesh HaBechir. So Mechemes HaBechir B'Tachoda Misnaheles Rak B'Shetach Muvam. Right? So we have to remind ourselves that the Mechemes HaBechir, the war of Bechir, the battle of Bechir, really functions in the person in a very limited range. Right? We learned that for most things we don't really have Bechir at any given point in our lives. Because we are like, either like Adam HaRishon, where those issues are so clear to us that we would never touch it, or we are so blind in those areas that we're completely in the clutches of the Yetzirah regarding most things. And then there's what Rav Das referred to as the Nekudas HaBechira, the Bechira point, where we have actually that level of darkness and light together, Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov together, where we struggle. Okay?
This is so clear, I understand. So clear, so obvious. It's so dark that it's we're so bad, we're so blind.
So regarding certain issues, we're completely blind and completely sucked into the control of the Yetzer Hara. We just can't. There's no way we can, at this particular point in our lives, remedy that. We can do it eventually, climb up one step at a time, until we can engage this Yetzer Hara. But there's certain Yetzer Haras that we're not ready to engage right now. So therefore, lamatim yishtetach hazeh, below that range of where we have the chira, hein averus, are those sins, she'ein lo hava min elah ikash lo behem. One second. Yeah, below that range, meaning in the hands of the Yetzer Tov, are those averus where we never have a hava min elah. That means we never even consider to even remotely do those averus. Again, I would pick murder as an example for hopefully most of us. Well, amalim menu, and above that level, with the challenges where we don't even perceive them as being bad. And he explained back there, this will be a little review for some of us. So he explained back there that really the tafkid, the mission of a person is in any given area to change himself from being a bocher, from having the darkness that allows free will, to a mukhrach, to bring more light into his life in this area where he no longer has free will. Really what we're trying to do in our spiritual growth is to eliminate free will, one step at a time. That's what the battle is about. Because as we grow, and as we become more clear in certain things, and everybody around this table can think about certain things that once upon a time were challenged for them, then now they wouldn't even think about doing those things. What happened? What happened to my free will? What happened to my struggle? The answer is I have been, I don't know if it's okay to use the expression that, we saw the light, okay? We've been enlightened, okay? We've been enlightened and to the point where now we have clarity and, oh, it's clear to me now that I shouldn't be doing that. One time, once upon a time, it wasn't so clear. So in those areas, we once had free will, but we accomplished the mission, and now we are mukhrachim. We are people who have no longer free will. We are forced, so to speak, forced as a result of our own clarity to follow the Yetzer Tov and to do the right thing. Haynu l'harchiv, that's our mission. Haynu l'harchiv k'chol efshar, that is to broaden to whatever degree possible, es hashetach hazeh, that territory, shebohu mukhrach, where one is forced, quote unquote, machmas hakarosav, as a result of his awareness, lasis as his own kono, that he wants to do the will of Hashem, ubezel at some simits of shars of achira, and through that to stifle the possibility, the potential for free will. Don't worry about it, you still have free will. You'll have free will on the next step, on the last level, on the new issue that you're confronted with now, where once upon a time you didn't have free will in the opposite way. Terem shiavar adam ezaver v'pamarishona. Before a person ever does an aver for the first time, in a particular avera, in the bechinas Adam Rishon kodem achid l'gaba. Regarding that avera, he's like Adam Rishon before the sin. It's outside of himself. It's outside of his experience. The Yetzer Hara really has nothing to work with in a very, very strong way, because the Yetzer Hara can't make you salivate to something that you never tasted. Okay, that you have no reason, no experience by which to judge how delicious it is or isn't. Right? So we're like Adam before the chait. His inner compass, his moral compass, his inner reality does not allow him to do it. But if the situation evolves, somehow he stumbles in this chait, then all of the senses, all the barriers fall apart. They crumble. And there gets open to him all of the gates, to add to the sin, kilu as if les din v'les dayan. That's an expression like there's no justice, and there's no judge. Belishum ikuv kal, that nothing holds him back anymore. Hachet nas efshari, the sin has now entered into the realm of the possible. It was once impossible for him, but now it's possible. V'nasa ba'vachir be'en mefriya, and now he is a ba'vachir, he has free will. Because somehow his vision has gotten clouded, somehow darkness has entered, and now he has free will. And Chazal famously tell us, once a person did an aveira and repeated it, for now it becomes like something permissible. First 2 times that he did it, he felt guilty about it. certainly the first time felt guilty, but by the second time he's very convinced himself it's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Eventually, we lose any feeling for what we're doing. Because of the Rabbeinu Yonah B'Shar Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rishon, when Rabbeinu Yonah, who wrote the famous Sefer Shar Tshuva, Gates of Repentance, he wrote, "Bezet chavda ma'od chata'aso." With this, a sin becomes, or maybe kaveda ma'od, becomes very, very heavy. Kama Shnemar, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, "Hine debart," you spoke, "Vatasi ha-ro'os," and you did that which is evil, "Vatuchal." Vatuchal, now what does Vatuchal mean? Bir Vatuchal, the word Vatuchal means now it's possible, or it's okay. Ki-ro'os naslo kehetzu, because the evil has now become permissible, or permitted. Or gedav eshu v'yichol techa v'shuscha. Vatuchal means you're now able to do it. Able means that I can just do this. There's nothing holding me back. Milashon was tuchalach v'sharecha. He's just showing how the word tuchal is used, that tuchal is translated to gemo less lechushus. When it says lo tuchal, the targum in the Aramaic translation is less lechushus, you don't have permission. So vatuchal means now you have permission. Vatuchal, you did it, and now it becomes permissible.
You're giving yourself
permission. Yes, right.
Not possession.
Right, and that's it. That's the way the Gemara puts it. First, the Gemara says that once a person did an aveira and did it twice, hutshra lo now becomes permissible. The Gemara says hutshra lo becomes permissible. That's all I got to do. You can do it wrong twice, and now it's permitted. The Gemara says no. What we meant was nasis lo kehetzer. It becomes like that which is permissible in your own eyes. That becomes your perception of it. You've rationalized it. You've convinced yourself, and now it's okay.
Is a mitzvah.
Yes, you are right. You are right. You are right, absolutely, absolutely. And we see that happening in our own society today. How that which was once clearly really not good now has become noble, and it's something wrong with you if you think otherwise, right?
But I think there's a picture that's drawn here. It's like, down go all the boundaries. You know, and it's like heaven,
it's
the law of society.
Well, regarding that particular issue. Not regarding everything. No. Regarding that issue, a person now very challenged. So let's just read these last few lines, the last paragraph. Muvan hadavar, it's self-understood, shemekivan shenimta adav, the matzav ha-bechira kanal, that once a person now has descended into the world of free will, shuv, as described earlier, kanal means as described earlier, shuv ein ma'ilim lo kol olomo tachachmu, v'habina shalo. All of his intelligence and wisdom is not going to help. Intelligence is not going to get you out of this. Karigam lo adam rishon lo hi lo kol ha-karosav. Adam, with all of his knowledge, HaKarosav Atzumas, the awesome awareness that he had, as we described at the very beginning, Kirish Nichla Satocho Gama Tzel Hadak B'Yosef Shemid Ra, once even the shadow, the slight shadow, the minimal shadow, the minimal darkness of a bad mid entered, all better off. Ha'etza Ha'echida, the only solution is for Masaf Hazeh in such a state, it is Masay L'Torah L'Masay HaMitzos B'Shlim Musan. To totally dedicate oneself to Torah mitzvot, to Hashem's Torah mitzvot. Meaning, regarding this issue, it's going to be hard to wrestle with it. I have to take a much broader approach. And the broader approach is one, is that I want to be a Torah Jew. I want to be a Torah Jew, and to incorporate this piece of darkness into that broader picture of living a life of Torah. L'yitaher, to purify oneself. L'skadesh, to sanctify oneself. B'yir shemayim terufa. With pure Yirah Shemayim. Well, it's Palal Hashem and to Davet Hashem. Don't forget this one. We need Hashem's help. To Davet Hashem. She Yotzi'ehu Mimechashchi HaBechira. To help pull us. Hashem should help pull the person out of the darkness of Bechira. Amadreyim Mizucheches Mitzurefes. To a level that is much more clear and pristine. Ba Niyachid Esliveinu V'Avodah Yisbarach. Where one focuses oneself and one's heart to the service of Hashem. Now, what does it mean to daven to Hashem? And how's it going to solve the problem? Because we daven to Hashem, we're connecting to Hashem. And we connect to Hashem, that by definition is a place that there's no light. And with that connection, with that veikus, with that bonding with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's where the siyata d'shmaya comes from. Hashem helps us deal with our struggles. And really, there's nothing, that's not a chiddush, because Chazal tell us that v'chol yom v'yom yitzur shel adam is gabar olav. Every day, a person's Yetzirah really would overpower him. But Malek has broke Ozra, if not fell for Hashem, he wouldn't be able to. It's really, it's a nasty struggle, the Yetzirah. So we need Hashem's help. but we have to want to. And I think that's really what this last paragraph is saying, is when we're faced with challenges like this, then we have to want to. We have to want to be in a better place. We have to want to be in a place that's more enlightened. And b'chlal, in a general sense, to be sensitized and sensitive to the dangers of our decision-making process. And I think that's one of the things that we get out of this whole piece, is that what Adam went through on his level, we go through on our level all the time. We are the different things motivating us. And even when I suppose I want to do the right thing, and maybe doing the wrong reasons, and certainly when I'm doing the wrong thing and convincing myself that it's the wrong thing, sometimes we're smart enough, we're not so deep in that we can catch ourselves and say, I am rationalizing. But more often than that, we rationalize things and we convince ourselves that it's okay. So it takes a lot of introspection, a lot of serious self-examination, and a lot of help from those around us that we trust to help us give us direction as we navigate. Really what we're talking about here is the challenges of being a human being.
You have that need. It's like the arrogance is good in a.
It's critically important.
The
ego.
Right. Ego.
You need ego.
And we are humans. Right. We have it, but it's a good thing for us.
Right.
We can't let it get out of control.
We have to use ego instead of ego controlling us.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
What's coming up next?
I don't know yet. Okay, all right. We'll see.
She touched it, okay, and saw that she didn't die. So he said, okay, so eat it. So she ate it. Then she said, I don't remember how to cook it. I don't know if it's fair of me to ask. I don't have a second.